Hello!
Hello, fam! I'm
Charisse. You guys, so this is episode Trace. Trace Hermanas. That's a good Mexican place.
They don't sponsor us.
This episode's going to be an interesting one because we recorded it before we even had a podcast.
Yeah, we recorded it as part of our pitch to Feral, and it is an interview and a guest. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's definitely an interview and there's a guest. So you said the two correct terms.
But it's not. It's like we have a guest on the podcast. Is it really an interview? It's not like a, you know what I mean?
Well, she talks a lot. I didn't love it. I'm just joking.
What? I thought it was great. It was like just some gal pals galling around. It's with comedian Sarah June.
Yes, Sarah June.
She's hilarious. And we talked a lot about brown people problems and growing up with immigrant parents. And we just had a blast. We recorded in my little apartment.
Yeah.
Before we had this nice studio to record in.
Yeah, before I built us a studio with my own hands.
And as a lumberjack.
Yes, for the time being, I am working as a lumberjack to pay the bills.
Let's just not go into it. Life's hard.
So, yeah, we really hope you enjoyed the episode. It was recorded like a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Probably more, but
I mean, most of the stuff we talk about,
we don't talk too many current politics. We kind of do, but mostly, I mean, it's like,
well, something has changed, hasn't it, Anna?
Oh, okay. So I talk about how I'm like super sad and single on it. I'm still sad, but I'm no longer single. So don't feel
Whoa.
Bad for me.
Guys, back off. I'm taken.
For now. No, I'm
so
just
yeah,
joking.
Thanks for listening and enjoy me and Anna and Sarah Jude. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my parents? Why were we born? We are ethnically ambiguous.
Today is a very special day because we have our first guest.
I'm the first?
You're the first ever.
Guest. This is technically only the third episode.
Okay. I figured it was early days, but
can
I thought you would have
Can you tell how professional
guests.
We are? Look at the setup. It's sitting in my living room, and your mic stand is a plastic cup with batteries in it to weigh it down.
I'm dazzled.
I'm eating a muffin.
Hi, everyone. I'm eating a muffin.
So, introduce yourself for people that can't see.
My name is... Because I'm wearing a name tag. So if you can't see me, my name is Sarah June, and I'm a comic, and I live in L.A.
Nice to meet you via podcast.
Is that your actual last name, or is that just your thing?
That's my thing.
Cool.
What's my stage
last
name? I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
Copy that.
Whoa. Secrets.
I'll tell you after.
I do like your last name being June.
I bet
June.
It's like, it's that's like how some Persian last names go on for 10 years.
No, it's Rehani. It's very close to Rouhani.
Oh, okay.
Are you related to the president of Iran?
No, it's Rehani. Don't be crazy.
Oh my God. We have the Persian spy on our podcast.
The daughter of the president of Iran is on our podcast.
I am a princess, and
I just want you guys to know the kind of big names we can get on the show.
Yeah. Big names talking big games.
We have some pull.
Yeah. We have strong pull in the political game of Iran.
Yeah.
On next
we're
week,
gonna solve all the
world's
problems
with this
podcast.
On next week
is Vladimir Putin.
No, okay.
I do fear that this podcast will get me like arrested
on
at the
watch
border
list?
Next
oh,
time
definitely.
I go
oh,
back
on.
To Iran.
Oh no.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh girl.
Yeah, for sure.
Girl. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Shady
for sure.
When
oh,
you go
shit.
In there, they're like, "Hey, sorry, we were on your Facebook last week,
and
we didn't like that one comment you posted. So you're gonna have to sit in solitary confinement for like 6 years until your government somehow gives us a bargaining tool to get you back out. Probably won't happen because America does not negotiate with us."
Yeah, I don't know if
well,
I
should get on that Department of State
this
shit
took a
website.
Turn.
Maybe we should talk about that now because like I already figured they probably won't let me back in because I'm in DSA and I'm like public about being like in Democratic Socialist.
Yeah.
So like that's already I'm fucked already.
Yeah.
You know?
Send your family a telegram.
There's not a lot of them left there. They also had to leave some of them because they were communists.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I'll keep it. My mom
will
be
part
really
of Iran
fucking
is your
mad.
Family?
We're
from
Shiraz. My mom's family is from Shiraz.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful place.
Well, you were there just a minute ago.
Was not, but I do have an aunt that lives there.
Oh, nice.
Never mind.
Is she also my aunt who lives there?
Yes.
Everyone's related.
Her name is has F's on it. You may have met her.
I know her
everyone's
so
name
well.
Is that.
My mom's family's from Shiraz, and my dad's family's like from near Shiraz. So
cool.
not super far. My dad's family, I don't think any of them live there anymore. And my mom's family, like only a couple live there, and distant relatives. And the rest of my family lives in Europe.
That's chill.
And America.
That's the way to go.
But mostly, yeah.
Yeah, my family's all pretty dispersed, too, just because, like, they all had to, like, leave
right.
ASAP. So now they're just, like,
that's so
scattered.
Weird. They had to leave Syria?
That's oh, so, yeah. No, have you ever heard, Syria's totally fucked. Syria's
so interesting. Please.
Syria's
why?
Getting blown to the fucking earth. Yeah, it's kind of sad. But I also was thinking about how, so we have two, so Anna's Persian, Sarah's Persian, and my name is Persian. So yeah. We're like 2.5 Persians right now. I'm yes. not any, I'm Syrian, yeah, but.
I'm going to just start calling you sweetness.
Yeah. Everyone thinks I'm Persian because they hear my name, which means sweet. Oh. I wish there was a camera recording Anna as she speaks Persian to me. Oh my god, I love this. I'm getting a little turned off.
Bobbing her head around.
Okay, why are we here?
Tabarach, bitch.
Did you get that? She said to dance.
I said to dance.
Oh, yeah, I put it together
you
in my head. Yeah, I figured it out.
Context clues.
Yeah. But we're really happy to have you here.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be here. It's just a beautiful...
You grew up in South Bay, California?
Yeah, I'm from the Bay Area. And then I went to Austin for a while, and now I'm back in
California. Did you go to school in Austin?
For a little bit, yeah. But mostly I just moved to Austin, and then I ended up going to school there.
Oh, cool.
I just wanted to move to Austin.
What, for just because it's like up-and-coming Texas City?
Yeah, it was
city?
Cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be...
Up-and-coming Texas City.
That's
I've never
a way
heard
to put
that.
It. I moved there like...
Well, back then it probably was, right? Like...
Well, it was like, I was like part of that wave of Californians being like, wow, it's so cheap here and everyone's so nice.
And now then, it's like really
now it's
hip.
Full of, yeah, now it's really hip and like,
the
well,
Portland,
I mean, yeah.
The Portland of Texas.
Kinda. And I like Portland too, but like, I like hot weather and Portland is cold. So it was straight up like, I went to Portland for a little bit and I was like, it's too cold. And then I went to Austin.
I like that.
Austin, I started doing comedy in Austin.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's really, it's a very, very, very great place to do comedy and especially to start. And the scene grew a lot, like, while I was in it, so that was really cool to see, and yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of comics that started in Austin.
A lot of them have just moved to LA, which is super nice for me, because it's like, I have a built-in network now already.
That's dope.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people from the Bay here, too, so.
Are there a lot of ethnicity, like minorities in Austin, like, doing comedy? Or
no.
Like,
no. 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 Not, no, like, not a lot. I mean, there's not none, but there's not a lot. There's a, you know, Stand Up NBC. It's like, they do an open call in like four or five different cities around the U.S. And it's like, it's for minorities, either gender minorities or racial ethnic minorities. And they do one of their open calls, one of the cities where they do the open call is Austin. And I've gone for the past couple years to the open call, which is where you do a minute of stand-up for a panel of three judges. And
Damn.
If they like you, they call you back to do
That's
two
nerve-wracking.
Minutes. Yeah. And it's in a giant, it's in a club, so it's in a giant
room. Yeah.
But it's fine. But anyway, so like people come, anyone can come out and do their 1 minute. And every time I would go in Austin, everyone in line was not from Austin because there's not that many comics of color in Austin. Mm-hmm. And all the female comics in Austin kind of didn't care as much. Like it would be some girls and then like three black people. And then everybody else was from Dallas or Houston.
Wow.
Which don't have as good comedy scenes, but they have way more diverse scenes.
Yeah.
So what is there to talk about Dallas? Like strip malls?
No, it's very, it's like fucking rich as shit.
Barbecue? Yeah, I have a fam there and I went there and they were just like, do you want to go see that mall? And I was like, nope.
Yeah, Dallas is like,
that's
I feel like
Dubai is like.
Yes.
Dubai is all
Dallas,
like,
where should, Dubai.
Where should we go? Let's go to the mall. Like, let's go to the.
We can go to the mall or we can go outside where it's a desert.
Yeah. Oh, and inside of what, like, a really big Dubai mall is basically like a giant snowboarding skiing resort.
Yeah.
With snow. So that's interesting because Egypt just did something like that.
Yeah. I find that super disturbing.
It's
like,
so
I know
interesting.
Dubai has been around for kind of a long time.
Yeah.
And it's one of many viscerally disgusting things about Dubai.
Dubai is actually the capital of extreme sports.
Is that a real thing?
Absolutely not. That is not a real thing.
was just like the UAE fucking stood for United Arab Extreme Sports.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
No, but I think it's really fascinating. Like, Dubai doesn't have any oil money, so all of their revenue is tourism money, and I think that's a great thing, and, like, they have a lot of good economy. Like,
actually, all their money all comes from, like, elevator fees to go up to the top of the buildings. Yeah. That's the majority of their economy is built off elevator fees to take you to the top of that really big building.
It's a strange lifestyle, because my cousin lives there, so I visited him a year and a half ago, and it's just this very consumerist, mall-driven, like, no one can afford anything in the malls. Like, you go to the mall, you don't buy anything, you just kind of walk around and, like...
Look at the luxury.
And you're in ACs, you have AC inside the mall, so that's that's a perk. But, so it's not really my scene, but it's interesting that a desert has a giant snow town in its mall, and now Egypt is doing the same thing, maybe again to like make money from tourism, but also it's strange because
it's just the grossest display of like conspicuous like consumerism opulence. And opulence. It's like it doesn't matter where we are, we're God. We have enough money to make fucking snow.
I will change the weather.
But it's gross.
It's like a Saudi prince was like, I want a playground. And someone's like, well, that land's open, and he's just like, put everything there.
Exactly.
But no, that land doesn't, it can't hold all that stuff. We'll put everything I want there inside a building.
It's just like money can get me anything I want, including a snowy fucking mountain close to my house.
Also, I need a place for my falcons to play.
That's not a joke.
Falcons are... I need a place for my falcons.
Seriously, like, falcons, like, people in the Middle East, like, fucking love their falcons.
I mean, falcons rules.
Falcons are, like, their man's best friend. Like, how white men love dogs, like, we love falcons.
Like, all the falcons look like us.
There's
brown.
You just start to act like your falcons. You got the same noses. Sorry.
No,
cut that out.
We can say it because we're...
We can say it because we all
we're
have...
From, we're from the, the armpit of the world.
It's fine.
I'm joking.
That's Australian. Everyone knows it.
That's true.
You ever go on vacation, there's like 45 Australians around you, and you're like, is nothing sacred? Australians travel everywhere.
That's true, actually.
God.
Watching this documentary in college about how toads are like basically like just like rampant in Australia.
There's so many invasive species in Australia.
They're giant, like giant as big as your fucking head toads, and they're terrifying. And I don't know if I'll ever go there because.
And I'm like, what's worse, the toads or the Australians? That's my question. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. My best friend's husband is Australian, Joe. If you're listening to this, which you're probably
you're
not, because you're probably like outside kitchen something. So I'm 100% sure he's
everyone
outside.
In Australia has to wear khakis all day, all the time.
Outside, but the sun's so strong, eh?
I kind of like Australians because they're so fucked up. Like, it's not their fault, you know? They got put on a weird island that's literally uninhabitable, and they just kind of made the best of it. And then they colonized, and they were like, they were the outcasts, and then they became the colonizers. And like, I don't like that, but
that's a comeback story.
But, hey, don't quit.
You know
what?
People really need a comeback story.
They've been down. They've been down under for so long.
I'm pretty sure the Trump election
was
our comeback story.
It looks like up to them,
And their toilets flush opposite ways.
What?
Yeah, because of the equator.
I don't
like
respect
the pee goes
that.
Up.
Oh no. The backwards bidet.
Everything goes up into the air.
Yeah.
In Australia, because they're upside down.
Yep. Down under. Multiple meanings.
Wait.
What?
What?
About Egypt and their snow. Egypt is so close to other North African countries like Nigeria and Yemen and South Sudan and Somalia. Those four countries are going through an intense famine right now, and it's estimated in about a month that 20 million people will have died from famine.
But I think what you really need to remember here is that Egypt is the new cool ski destination.
Right, yeah, and this is what the podcast is about.
I mean,
this
like, who gives a fuck
for Egypt?
That, like, children in Yemen are, like, having to marry at 6 years old because that's the only way they could get food. But the point is, go to Egypt.
Go to Egypt and just hang and, like, don't think about it. Just don't think. It's like, the thing is, when you go in the mall and you see the snow, you just forget all about the children.
Yeah.
Because snow is so beautiful,
you're
guys.
You're like, that sky is fake, but at least I have food.
Yeah, you look up and you see, wow, a natural wonder of man-made snow makes me forget about famine.
Yeah, so there's an article on MiddleEastMonitor.com, and it's saying that child marriage in Yemen has soared as families are struggling with deepening poverty, and they're just increasingly marrying off their daughters because they want to reduce the cost of the number of mouths they have to feed. And they think that a husband's family can provide better protection than they can. So that's what Anna was kind of referring to, and it's heartbreaking.
Or they're going to get a dowry? I don't know.
Yeah,
so dowry
payments are... They're paid by the husband's family in Yemen, so that's an incentive for the poor families to kind of marry off their daughters, even if they're children
still.
Get a little
bit of money.
Yeah, exactly. And
they hope that then their children will be able to eat, and they'll be able to eat a little bit for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just... a sad reality that we're living in right now, that like we're here in America drinking big gulps and Big Macs, and there's a country that's like
drinking those Big Macs all the time.
Big Macs.
You know what, Anna, just go with it.
I'm looking at the article now, and I think this is where we got to go back to is Yemen's, I'm quoting from the article now, Yemen's hunger crisis follows 2 years of civil war pitting the Iran-allied Houthi group against a Saudi-backed coalition, which has caused economic collapse and severely restricted food and fuel imports. Guess who's backing the Saudi-backed coalition? Guess who's an ally of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's us!
It's us! Hey!
Ugh, God, everything's America's fault. Honestly, like, everything, as you slowly trace it back, comes back to Saudi Arabia.
It comes back to Saudi Arabia being shitty, and it comes back to America constantly supporting Saudi Arabia being shitty, and America constantly supporting Israel being shitty.
Yep.
And that's it. It's not like these countries developed these problems entirely on their own.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... That's what really is difficult for me when people are like, well, like, why can't they just figure it out?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because
they're
so
savage. Oh, they're so primitive.
Yeah, I mean, before the U.S. and the Western world came in, they had plenty of their own problems. Like, do not get me wrong, but they were not these problems because they did not have the American military and money behind them, fighting them and, like, destabilizing on every fucking level. It's like they're literally unable to stabilize because they didn't fucking do the unstabilizing.
And it's really, it annoys me. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but people look at Saudi Arabia as the reason why Islam is a violent, misogynist religion, when they're forgetting that that country, the government is corrupt and it's using a religion for its own benefit. And Islam is a religion just like any other, just like Christianity, just like Judaism, and the people that are wielding it can use it is for evil or for good. But like, the Ku Klux Klan doesn't define Christianity, and
but they identify themselves as Christian.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean they're the only Christians.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that being Christian means you support the KKK.
Yeah, and like, just because Saudi Arabia claims it's an Islamic state doesn't mean that's what Islam is.
Like, it doesn't represent every Muslim.
Yeah, and you don't open up the Quran and see like, oh, women can't operate vehicles. Like, no, that's not there. Someone just made that up because that's what they wanted the government to look like.
Yeah.
So I just want people to remember that, like, we can, like we're all sitting here from the Middle East and we're criticizing Saudi Arabia because it's a country that should be criticized, but we're not criticizing it. We're not criticizing the religion. That's something that's different.
Because, like you were saying before, there are many, many Muslim majority countries, and not all of them even have theocratic governments.
Yeah.
But they are countries that are full of a lot of Muslims, and they do not have the same rules, and they do not have. Even if you look at Iran and you look at other states that are Islamic governments per se, which, like, they all interpret Islam in totally different ways, and it's so obvious. Like, it's so, like, how can you, even if you were like, okay, a state defines religion, which I already don't agree with, then it's like, well, which one are you gonna fucking pick?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy, because it's like, if in Saudi Arabia they're like, women can't drive, it's in, you know, it's not okay, women can't do anything. They're also trying to up, I talked about this in the last podcast, they're trying to up their women in the workforce from 22 to 30%.
Wow.
They're really
big
trying.
Numbers.
Yeah, they're really
vicious.
Trying.
Yeah, but, sorry, my nose is so runny.
Too much cocaine.
But they were also like...
I'm joking.
I wish. But they're also like...
Drug-free.
Like, women can't drive still. They're like, but we want to get to work, but like, please don't even try and push that women driving situation. Which is like, yeah, that's not how reform works. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's like, women fucking drive in Iran all the time, and it's the same fucking religion. It's just how the country sees it.
Women go to college a lot in Iran. Yeah, women go to college more than men in Iran.
Yeah, same in Syria.
And it's not fucking thanks to Islam, but it's also not, you know, it's not defined by Islam
exactly.
for them.
Also, did anyone see the Donald Trump post a photo on his Instagram with a bunch of fucking Saudi princes on March 14th?
Shit, let me see that.
That shit was like,
damn.
Oh, you ain't even trying to hide how shady meeting you are with these Saudi princes.
Ooh, meeting with Deputy Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman Al Saud.
Yeah. That was on his Instagram?
He posted that on his Instagram.
He needs to reel in his social media. Like, does he know that being president isn't about being on Instagram?
Trump, if you need a consultant, I will be more than happy to teach you how to not be a piece of fucking shit.
I know
shit.
A lot of social media managers in LA who would work for you for super cheap.
Yeah.
I just don't understand, like, Obama had, he had to have a BlackBerry. Like, that he had BlackBerry for all of his presidency, and why isn't someone taking away Donald Trump's iPhone? Like,
I don't know. The whole, like,
and it's gross.
That's what I was making a joke to my friend this weekend. I was like, seriously, like, you have zero social media presence. Like, Donald Trump does not understand you.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know how to, like, interact with you, because everything Trump gets is from media. Like, his whole world is like Fahim Anwar, a comedian, has this joke where he's sitting, like, Donald Trump is sitting in front of, like, 30 computers at all times, just being like, like, responding to everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not, like, how does he have the time?
How does he have the time to do anything but tweet?
No,
it's like,
I don't know.
Tweeting is a fucking full-time job.
Like, he's like, I need to go in my Twitter room and, like, sit there.
It'll be like, it'll
Lucy,
be like 3 a.m.
Did you see that movie Lucy with Scarlett Johansson, where she's, like, on the two laptops?
Because
her brain is, like, so fucking randy, and she's, like, typing super fast with both hands, and her head is, like, kind of cocked back, and she's just, like, streaming the information. It's like, that's Donald Trump tweeting.
Yeah.
Except with, like, total bullshit. It's just a giant river of bullshit running
it's
through
like,
his brain.
It's like, fuck you,
I like that he's following 6 people on Instagram and half of them are his children.
That's kind of cute.
God. Don't say that.
Is it? Because his kids got to stop being in meetings. Like,
no,
what does
gotta...
Ivanka know about anything other than, like, ugly shoes?
Yeah.
Did you guys read the profile of one of the Trumps? I think it was Eric Trump that was in the New York Times.
The
that
one
was
that's
like...
a vampire?
Which
the one?
The one
that's, like, smiles, like...
Yeah, the one that smiles,
the one where he's,
like
sitting in a tree in the middle of
a...
Like, there's a picture of him sitting in a tree
God.
In the middle of a field, and it's, like, the misunderstood Trumpy.
It's so gross.
He got roasted.
He got roasted so hard for sitting on that tree,
dude. Good.
He's, like, sitting on a stump, and he's like, I'm lost. And so I couldn't bear to read it. Because I've also seen a picture of him holding up the tail of an elephant that he cut off. He killed an elephant, and then he cut off its tail and
you
held it up like a trophy.
You can't see my face, but it's a game.
It's the face you would expect.
Because
that's fucking gross and on every
God.
Level. Well, number one, he killed an elephant.
Least surprising thing I've
no,
ever
least
heard.
Surprising. He killed an elephant, I'm not surprised. Cut off its tail.
And then
like,
posted a picture?
And then hold it up, like, check it out, and then post
God.
A picture next to the elephant's ass with its cut off tail in his hand, like, bleeding.
No.
You should be arrested. You should go to jail.
That's so disgusting and sad.
No, it's really disgusting and sad, and everybody should think about it every single day, because that is the child of Donald Trump.
I will think about that every single day and cry. I love elephants. Dumbo was a really important movie to me growing up, and I watched it fairly recently, and it's kind of dark.
Here's the thing. Elephants are smarter and have more humanity than the Trump family, so of course they would want to destroy them.
They mourn people. They have,
elephants are really smart, and they have complex social structures and memories, and they mourn, and they have, like, rituals and stuff.
I love elephants.
The Trumps
fuck
are soulless. No, fuck them.
God.
I mean, like...
I hated them, but now I hate them.
I know. It's like, you know that killing an elephant is actually not even the worst thing the Trumps have done, but it just fucking sucks.
Yeah, it just shows the character of this family that...
You don't get political clout for killing an elephant.
Oh, no.
You know?
You don't get anything.
What?
You,
I'm just joking.
Well, I got a lot of elephants to bury.
I have to go.
So
I'm sending a quick text...
Send
and it's being
send
really
it,
unprofessional.
It.
Yeah, this is one of those settings where I came from work to come here.
Okay, I was joking. Thank you for being here.
You're fine.
No, it's fine. I don't actually ever go into the office. I just went into the office to pick up a poster and then take all the snacks for breakfast
nice.
For myself, and then I drove here.
Bug.
Your experience as a Persian American in the comic scene.
Okay.
Yeah. So you moved to LA 6 months ago?
Yeah. Like actually more like 9 months ago at this
point.
Yeah.
So like a baby.
Yeah. Under a year, for sure.
Okay, cool.
But
I mean, now
we have to... Yes, like a baby. Yes, I had a baby when I moved here. Just before I came, I just took it to the fire station. Long story short, I moved from Austin, and I've been here for less than a year.
Okay, well, how have you... I would assume LA is a little more diverse than Austin.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so how did your experience compare, like, doing a show in Austin? Did your jokes change? Like, did you find yourself holding back telling, like, maybe, like, ethnically charged jokes in Austin versus in LA, or?
I wouldn't say so much ethnically charged, but I would hold back from doing anything about, race, my race, because I worried that anyone would be mad. I mean, there was a little bit of, like, if I go and do a show in, like, Marble Falls, are people going to be upset? Like, if I talk about being Persian. But the main thing was just people don't know what that is, and they don't know what it means. And as a comic, you have to rely on your audience having a context. So if you talk about race relations in America, the number one thing you hear jokes about is black people and white people, because those are the minorities that white Americans are most familiar with. And then there's plenty of comics that make a whole living talking about the differences between white people and Latinos, especially Mexicans. But, like, any minority besides, like, all Latinos and all black Americans is, like, a lot of people in the middle of the country just, it's not that they hate them. They just are like, I don't know what that is. I don't understand the joke because I don't know. And then I come to LA and everybody's making jokes about Armenians. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, this is my place.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows what an Armenian is here.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that Armenia is a country, you know, like that's the base knowledge that you need to have in order to even make a racist joke about Armenians.
Yeah, that's a good point. So when you were in Austin, did you tell jokes about, like, oh, being a woman versus being a Persian woman? Like what was the...
I just, like, didn't really tell jokes about my race almost at all.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I would talk about, like, being hairy, basically, but I wouldn't tie it to my race, even though, like, to me, they're very tied. And, I mean, like, yeah, if you say, like, I'm Persian, so I'm really hairy here, everyone's like, okay, great, we get it. But if you say I'm Persian, so I'm really hairy over there, there's sort of a distraction of, like, what's Persian?
Like, yeah, it's interesting yet to, like, maybe, like, alter the way you said your jokes, just depending on your demographic, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not censorship per se, but it is just like, is this going to distract from the joke? Is this going to detract from people paying attention to me as a person? But then it did get to the point where, like 3 years in, people didn't know my ethnicity because they had never asked and I had never mentioned it, which is fine. I don't think that's a problem.
And your stage name is pretty, like, ambiguous.
Well, I took a stage name, like, 3 years in.
Oh, okay.
But, like, yeah, like...
Even, probably your actual name, most white people wouldn't know where it's from.
Right, they're just like, well, that sounds foreign, but I don't know from where. So, yeah, you have to have some kind of familiarity with Iranians in order to be able to identify that name sounds Iranian or that name sounds Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in, especially in Austin, just don't, because, like, there's plenty of Persians in Texas, but they're mostly in, like, Houston and Dallas. So, and I never did, well, I guess I did comedy in Houston one time, but, like, I never did comedy in Dallas. I barely visited Houston, but I'm sure the scenes there are, like, kind of, I mean, I know the Houston scene a little bit, and it's, I won't talk about that.
So basically the point is, like, to know your audience.
Yeah, to know your audience and know what they know and know, like, you know, if I'm going to make a joke about being Persian, I'm going to have to set up what it means to be Persian. And is that joke worth it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is the setup going to be worth the punchline?
Yeah.
But if you're here and you know that everyone knows what a Persian is and they know that Persian and Iranian are the same thing and I don't have to fucking explain that and take time out of my set to, like, talk about that, then I can make a joke about being Persian or whatever. It's like Jewish mother is a cultural shorthand for a certain type of person. And plenty of people have, they'll say my mom is like a Jewish mother, because you don't have to be Jewish or a mother in order to embody those qualities of being overbearing, fussy, like, smothering, but also extremely caring and nurturing. But if you say Persian mother, it's like every Persian gets that's the same thing.
Yeah.
But other people are like, what's a Persian mother? You know?
Oh, what's a Persian?
Yeah, what's a Persian?
One thing I noticed about Persian mothers, they don't really let you ever hang out with your hair wet.
Oh, yeah.
They're very strict about that.
Same with my mother, actually. Yeah.
Blow dryer. Do something. Hair is wet. And it's like, woman.
It's like, you're
in
a cold, which is also...
Yeah. I mean, yes, I know my nose is always running, and maybe she's right. But, like, I don't want to.
I'm realizing my mom is right about everything right now.
Yeah.
Also, it's like,
thank you,
a Persian woman can't take a blow dryer to her hair unless she wants to have, like, a poof.
Yeah.
I don't want my hair to be frizzy all day.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Mom, just leave me alone.
Leave us alone, Mom.
I'm just kidding. I love you, Mommy.
My mom hasn't talked to me in years.
We can talk about true. Moms if you want.
The last thing my mom said to me was like, did you leave your socks at the house?
Because
I spent 2 weeks at home. Long story.
Spring break.
I was doing my taxes.
Spring break, time to do taxes.
Yes. Oh, I'm not doing any of this for you. And I was like, okay, well, we had an agreement when I was born that you do everything. So figure it out. So I had to go sit next to him while he complained that I made too much money from too many different places, which I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor, you asshole.
What a problem to have.
Yeah.
I'm mad that you're making a living.
Yeah. But he was like, there's just too many places. Yeah. Look how many 10 nines there are. I can't figure.
That's the freelance life.
It's freelance life.
I was like, yeah. Freelance. Yeah. And my dad on the thing, he typed out freelance and he spelled it with an S.
Oh.
I was like, you're so Persian. It's with a C.
So cute.
I get audited. I'm coming for you.
I told my mom, I was PAing last year. I was a PA on this pilot, like an Amazon pilot. And so it was a short job. You know, it was just for the one episode. And it was fine and it was good. And then the pilot came out and I told my mom, hey, that pilot that I worked on came out. You know, if people rate it well, then they'll make more and then maybe I'll get a job again. And she was like, yeah, but that wasn't like a real job. And I was like, I mean, it wasn't a great job, but.
No, it's funny. Like,
I'm so great.
I've been freelance for the entire time I've lived in LA and I live with my sister now who's a doctor. And, so that's kind of interesting to explain to my parents.
I don't see her.
She's busy being a doctor right now. As we're recording a podcast in our apartment.
Wait, you're freelance and your sister's a doctor?
Yeah.
No. Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah, life's hard for me. Yeah. I'm the middle child.
You're the little black sheep, and you have tattoos.
Yeah, my parents blame me for my two sisters having tattoos, even though they're both adults and they decided to get tattoos on their own.
Yeah. I am so, so glad that I don't want any tattoos, because if I did, my mom would be fucking crushed. Because part of it is, like, culturally... It's a thing that prostitutes have, you know. But also, she is like the person you were talking about earlier who was like, I don't want toxins under my skin. Like, she's brought that up to me before.
Look at me. I'm like, my parents are always like, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
But it's interesting.
It's good to see you. It's not good to see them.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But no, it's interesting. Like, immigrant parents want the best for their children, but I think a lot of it will translate into like
don't get
a
tattoos.
Stable job,
yes,
like doctor, lawyer, or you're fucked.
Engineer.
It's very like I want you to be taken care of.
Yeah.
These are the fields in which you will never be wanting for a job. The market will always be good.
Exactly.
The money will be good. You will be respected. You can have a home. Like it's all like I want you to be able to support yourself.
It's out of love. It's it's out of protection and
My dad like every day reminds. Me that like women engineers are treated so much better these days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't what? It's a little late for me to go back and become
an
engineer.
Yeah, my parents still are hoping I'm going to law school one day.
Oh, every single time I talk to my dad, literally every time. He's like, so when are you going to law school? And I'm like, here's the thing, Dad. I have never in my life planned to go to law school. Like at one point I thought about going to medical school.
Yeah.
Like that would be go push that, even though because I would rather do that than go to law school. But he's like, why don't you go to law school? Like, why don't you just go to law school? Why just go, you'd be like good at it. I'm like, I've never in my life wanted to be a lawyer. Like that's not, it's just not going to happen.
But like my sister's a doctor, so they need someone that's a lawyer now. You know what I mean?
We don't have any doctors like among me and my brothers. Yeah. So
yeah, my bro's a lawyer. Fuck him. Okay.
Fuck him.
I have a really funny story. When I was in Iran, I spent the month of February in Iran.
Oh my God, dude. I saw those Caspian Sea pics.
Yeah, dude, I was living.
You were
I made one demand. I was like, these people are annoying as fuck. Take me to the Caspian Sea. And then my uncle was like, okay, hop in the car.
Nice.
I have,
who's annoying relatives?
Coincidentally, everything about Iran can be very annoying after a while.
It's like a pain.
Hanging out with us just there for constantly
a long time.
I'm just constantly afraid and it will find me annoying. She's not answering. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just like slowly leaving.
She's just staring at me. Just like,
I was like visiting Iran, but after a while, it's like you're not even on vacay anymore. Like they don't even treat you like you're on vacay. You've just been there too long. Like
you're just
like
in their daily lives.
Yeah. You're like, so what are we doing today? And they're like, we don't give a shit. Figure out your
like,
own.
When
thing
are you?
I'm going to work.
Yeah. They're like, we've taken you everywhere. So
don't you have a job?
I started to get like really antsy, and my dad is old, so he'd just be laying around on his iPad, like, don't bother me. I'm looking at the news. And I'd be like, I just need to go outside. And so they took me to the Caspian Sea eventually.
Nice. Like a dog.
Yeah, basically. I was like, just like scratching on the door. Please, please.
Chewing things so they took you to the ocean.
So the entire time my dad was being like, yeah, she is producer. She does thing in Los Angeles. And then I have this cousin. Well, he's my cousin's. I have a female cousin who has a son who's, I'm the youngest cousin on my dad's side. Mm-hmm. So, like, all my cousins have children who are older than me.
We're in the exact same boat.
Yeah. I feel so, this cousin, he lives in Australia. I hope he never listens to this.
This is your, like, second cousin.
Yeah, it's my second cousin, but we're pretty close because that's the
family.
You're
close in age,
He went to dentistry school in the Philippines for, like, 5 years, you know.
Sick.
Basically could become a dentist. Right. He comes back to Iran. He's like, you know what? I don't really care for it, Iran. Like, I want to go to Australia. So his mom's like, okay, anything. This is, like, my rich family, so they're like, I got in a lot of trouble for talking hella shit to them, being like, you're all fucking spoiled. and my dad was like, but, so his mom was like, okay, you can go to Australia. Then he goes to Australia and he finds out, like, his, like, Philippines dentistry degree doesn't translate to Australia, which is like, these are different countries. Mm-hmm. So in there, he's like, all right, I'll become a dentist assistant. And then at one point, he's just like, wait a second, I want to be a physical therapist. And his mom's like, okay, you can go back to school to become a physical therapist.
Oh my God.
And so now he's doing that. When they told me this, I took one look at my dad and I was like, you motherfucker should be so proud of me, you piece of shit. Because if I had come to you and I was like, remember that art degree you paid 50 grand for? Well, now I want to go be a dentist. My dad would take a gun, shoot me, shoot himself, and then that would be it. Like, my dad has zero patience for bullshit like that. Like, I'm sorry, no, you go do what you fucking
you made
me pay fucking millions of dollars worth. Go fucking do it. So that entire week, I was like, well, at least I'm not just changing my fucking degree left and right because I'm bored.
Yeah, sorry about the 1099s, but at least they're all kind of about the same thing.
It's all producing. I'm not like, oh, and that was that one time I decided to become a helicopter pilot. Like, what are you?
That sounds fun, though.
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, I
would love
to do that.
I want to be a pilot.
I would love to be a pilot.
I would hate to be a pilot.
It's interesting. My dad...
A lot of lives on your hands.
So when my dad went to... So in Syria, when my dad was in high school... So there's this thing called baccalaureate in Syria, which is like the 13th year of high school, which... And then at the very end, you take a test.
13 years in high school?
it's the last year. And so you take it... Everyone takes a test at the end of high school in Syria, and that grade on that test will determine what job you get.
That's same in Iran.
Yeah. So it's and the job is very education is paid for by the government and so the government kind of places you into an appropriate job in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And my dad, the highest grade would get you into either doctor school or pilot school, and my dad really wanted to be a pilot. And it was like his dream to be a pilot. And he got one section short of that, which was engineer. And so he decided to be, obviously, an engineer. He was a civil engineer in Syria, and he was great at it. But then the government decided to try to bribe him into making cheaper buildings, because they're so corrupt, so they can get the profits
out
of it.
This is the same Syria we're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
How are those buildings holding up now?
Well, my dad...
They're
and
like, look, we got a plan.
That's what
just build
reasons.
A city. They're all going to come down anyway.
Exactly. So that's one of the main reasons he went to America, was to, like, get a better life. The thing was, he couldn't use his degree here. Mm-hmm. So his first job was at a graveyard shift at a gas station.
Yeah.
Dude, my dad, too.
Oh, my God.
But my dad went to college here, so.
Well, my dad couldn't.
My dad came from that, like, bougie money where they were like, go wherever you want.
Yeah.
And that was pre-revolution, so he was like, maybe I'll go get a degree, then come back to Iran. And the revolution happened. He's like, maybe I'll just chill here for a bit.
My grandpa was like, all you kids get educated abroad. And they all did. Like, not all in America, but all either in America or in Europe. Because I don't know how the fuck he knew. I mean, he was old as shit. But,
he was wise.
I had a vision.
He was wise. He was a doctor.
He was a sage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a doctor. And so my mom had to be a doctor. But then she wasn't a doctor. And it just fucking killed her.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But, I would love to have the patience to become a doctor, but I have an attention span that's like 3 seconds. Of everything.
No,
I don't even know why I'm here right now.
Go to like med school and now she's in residency. Like, I don't know. No, not for me.
It's
like,
not for everybody.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of patience and I admire her a lot. But hard pass.
Fuck yourself. That's what I say to that.
Yeah.
So there are a few things I want to talk about.
Yeah, please.
I want to talk about, okay, so you know how we like, what's his name? Turump. Put all those.
Turump.
Yeah, Turump. Oh, God, that was another thing in Iran. Everyone would be like, what are you going to do about your president? And it was like, hi, fuck you. You live under a regime as well. Yeah. Just a reminder.
It's like, now we're both fucked.
And I was in Iran for Day of Batman. I think I talked about this on the first. We've recorded our first episode. I was in Iran on Skype. And
oh, my God,
in
that's
America.
So great. Yeah, it was cute. And your dad made a special appearance.
Yeah. God, my dad.
I love her dad. He's a character.
We should get your dad on the podcast. Dude, we should get,
I would love that.
We should get our parents together on the podcast.
Yeah. We should have a dial-in. Speaking Farsi.
They'll just be mean to each other.
We should have a dial-in number where they just, like, call in being like, oh, hey.
And then they just be like, hello? 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 Because they can't figure out a word. Seriously, my dad last night calls me and goes, I want to buy more iCloud storage. Can you walk me through it? And I was like, oh, we're going to be here for 10 years.
Every time my mom, I showed my mom how to, she was like, somebody told me to get Audible and I want to listen to audiobooks. And I was like, okay. So she already had an Amazon account. So I like walked her through setting up an Audible account and I was like, here's how let's buy some books together. So you learn how to do it. And it didn't fucking work. Every single time she finishes an audiobook, she called me to help her buy the next one. And I'm like, mom, I made you a wish list. You just press, here's the button on the wish list. And she's like, I'm not signed in. I don't know. It's very sweet.
That's the only way
it's
my
like
parents,
the thing we connect over now.
Yeah. The only way my parents watch anything on Netflix is if I put it on the list.
Yes. Yeah. They know how to get to the list. And my, like, it's nice because then I can be like, well, what do you want to read about? And then she's like, murder. it's all murder. I'm like, hey, mom, I heard about a good murder book. Like, do you want me to put it on your Audible list?
Yeah, that's funny. That's great.
Yeah, she loves it. She's like, she read she listened to In Cold Blood. Ooh. And then one about John Wayne Gacy. And then I'm like, I'm looking through and I'm like, oh, these are trashy. And she's like, no, I want to read that one. She's just an old lady who loves murder.
That's great. I love murder as well. You should introduce her to
She's a Nancy Grace fan. Like, if you want to get a sense of my mom, like, she loved Nancy Grace.
My sister's
She
like
was
that.
Way into fucking, what was her name, from Modesto.
What's her name?
Leslie Peterson. Leslie Peterson case was a big deal in my house.
Oh. So Lacey?
Lacey. Lacey Peterson and Scott Peterson was the husband murderer. Mm-hmm. No, the husband and murderer.
The husband
he was
and
the
murderer.
Wife murderer.
It's always a spouse.
It's always a spouse.
Yeah. I've watched enough 60 Minutes to know that.
Yeah. I straight up thought she was going to take us to Modesto to go to the courthouse because, like, we're within driving distance.
Your
and
mom
we kept
seems
watching
amazing.
It.
Yeah.
There's a picture of my grandma at Mossadegh's trial. Like, she's, like, in the courtroom.
Are you serious?
My family she's loves, like in the background, like, mm-hmm. My family loves legal trial.
I said it from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I watched this really amazing Iranian film. Wait, is that the same thing you're talking about?
Which one?
The one where the guy pretended to be a filmmaker? Actually, that's not...
Close Up?
Yeah, Close Up!
Well, that's... Oh, no. Wait, what are you talking about? What about Close Up?
I know, I just...
That's not the same guy.
I realized that.
No, Mossadegh was the prime minister of Iran.
Yeah, every Persian name I realized sounds the same to me.
Yeah, they sound the same.
Yeah, but there's a really good... Everyone that's listening...
Close Up, shout out Kiarostami, because he's dead now.
Yeah, I know.
We miss him.
I really... Oh,
I'm
going to
pour out the rest of this tea for him, because he's really amazing. I'm going to pour it on your floor.
Everyone needs to clean it up. You can watch it for free online. Just look it up. It's called Close Up. It's an Iranian film from, like, 91. It's like this like documentary but also like reenactment.
It's a weird like meta documentary about.
It's so fucking brilliant. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's crazy.
It's so brilliant and it really just like Iranian and Middle Eastern film is so underrated.
Yeah.
It's so underrated and it was oh my God, it's so brilliant.
I think
brilliant.
Also if that's too okay. Watch Close Up. If you're like, that was too experimental, watch 10. Mm-hmm. Same director, yeah. Abbas Kiarostami, and that's like vignettes. It's shorter. Mm-hmm. It's like way more accessible. Like, that was kind of how I got into, like, I get this now. And it's all like dialogues between people in cars.
Yeah.
And it's great. And if you're like, I liked Close Up, but it wasn't experimental enough, I want to get more stoned, then watch 5.
Yeah.
By Kiarostami, because it's just the fucking ocean, dude. It's just
so...
shots of the ocean. Long. It's like 20-minute long shots of the ocean. It's called 5-4-0. Zoo, and then...
No, he's a legend.
He's a legend, too.
He's crazy.
I love him. God, what a talent.
Boss.
Can we do a mobile episode where we go to Westwood?
We should go sometimes. Yeah, we occasionally go. You should make a show in Westwood where it's just like straight like Persian references.
Yeah.
Like comedy. Oh my God, Sarah June is so funny.
Yeah.
I'm the new Max Amini, guys.
Yeah. Max Gibrani.
It's funny, like, all my family in Iran is like, do you know Max Amini? And I'm like, no.
Do you know Moss?
Yeah. I've never interacted with Max Amini in my life.
What?
He's a club comic.
Yeah, I can't be like, no, Mom, I don't hang out at the Laugh Factory. Because they're like,
no, but our claim to fame is that Ressa Aslan tweeted at us.
Shut up.
About ethnically ambiguous, the show we had previous to this.
Touch my hands.
I know.
I will tell a short story about Aladdin and Jasmine.
Okay.
When I was younger, we had a family friend, and they had two daughters, and their names were Ghazal and Shaghayeq. And Shaghayeq, you might be surprised to learn, could not get anyone to say her name right. And so she picked an American name.
Okay.
And she picked the name Jasmine because we watched Aladdin a lot together, and she loved Jasmine, and I look like Jasmine, and I look like Jasmine, and we look like Jasmine, and Jasmine is the princess that we can identify with. And I don't know, we haven't been in touch in a really long time, but that's fucking weird, right? Like, it's weird that, like, her American name, she picked as a child. Like, I think later on, when we got older, I think I talked to her about it, and she was like, yeah, I kind of wish my parents hadn't let me pick my American name, because I named myself after fucking Princess Jasmine from Aladdin, and that was a dumb idea, because I was six, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also like, you know, she never would have picked the name Ariel. She didn't pick the name because she liked the name. She picked the name because she liked the character.
What if her name was Cinderella now? Call me Cindy.
Cinderella Tutushi. Cinderella's real name.
No, no,
Cinderella had to have a real, because like Sleeping Beauty is called Briar Rose. Like,
it's Ella, right?
Is it Ella? I think you're right, and it is Ella, because then she's in like the cinders, Cinderella, and they call her Cinderella.
Because Cinderella is because it's like this. That means like ash person.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ash person.
Trash person. Ash person.
Because she like slept in the cinders.
Yeah, the name of my princess is Trash Princess.
Yeah, I identify with that.
Trash bitch.
So my sister's a doctor now. She's a year and a half older than me, and
she's a year and a half older than us.
Yeah, and I trust me, I'm a deadbeat. Okay. But so growing up, we would watch all these like movies together, and she was definitely more girly than I was. So she was always like, "Oh, I'm Princess Jasmine. I'm Ariel," mm-hmm. and I was always, without fail, the animal sidekick.
Jafar.
I was Raja.
You were Miko.
I was Miko. Like,
you were Eddie Murphy, and she was Mulan.
Exactly. Like, there was. I remember, like...
Was she Shrek, too?
No, but I didn't see any problem.
Just donkey.
You have to be... That's how much I didn't want to be the princess, was that I love being Raja.
Yeah.
I love being Flounder. I thought it was great. I thought that was life. And then I grew up being like, oh, this is my life. Like, I am the middle child.
You're like a banana.
Yeah, I'm the black sheep, literally. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the animal.
I was always Jafar.
Roger fucking rules. Like, who wouldn't want to be? But then all the rest of them are kind of like, you know, a small fish or like a small raccoon or like a small, like, you know, it's sort of diminishing. But Raja is like, he's like, he could beat you up.
Yeah.
So
what was the, like, the Jamaican crab from Ariel?
Sebastian.
Yeah. I was Flounder.
He was chill.
Flounder's cute.
Flounder's cute, and he's also like, but like, why couldn't you be like Flotsam or Jetsam? Because she wanted to be the princess.
Yeah,
she
didn't want to be Ursula. Sidekick.
Right. But like, they're sidekicks, but to the evil one.
No, but now I realize that, like, living with her she's a doctor, I'm still the sidekick.
You're like still the pet.
She's always trying to get you to,
I'm
like,
still the pet that she's like coming home. I'm like, hi! I need work today, did you?
Yeah, she tells you stuff and you're like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
But life is just being an animal sidekick. Yeah, so
you're stuck in the water while she's walking on shore, dude, and you're talking to Sebastian and you're talking to that seagull and you're like, oh, I hope she's okay. I can't do anything.
Oh,
youth.
This got dark.
This got real dark. I think that a good part about having a guest on is like talking about her, like, our experiences as brown people.
Yeah,
we don't always have to talk about like book reports.
Look,
right?
Everything I say is meaningful because I'm brown.
Yeah.
You too,
I also
dude.
Really love your big hoop earrings.
Thank
because
you.
They're almost like if you get into a fight, you like become like a Latina and just like take out your hoops.
Yeah. Whenever I wear hoops, literally, my friend yesterday was like, you're vibing Latina.
Yeah. No,
it's like,
I grew up in San Diego when I was mm-hmm. young. younger and like when I went to high school.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought I was Latina. Like they would talk to me in Spanish when I went to like Chula Vista and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know.
It's only because like they see that you're not white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, you're probably just somewhere that you speak Spanish.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like fine, but like it's weird because when people mistake your identity, and you're not the identity they wanted, they get disappointed.
Yeah.
And I'm already disappointing all Persians by not being able to speak Farsi that well. And so then when people try to talk to me in Spanish...
Wait, you know how to speak Farsi?
Like, a little bit.
You don't know how to speak... Oh, my God. Poor you.
I know. Shut up. they're like, who is you?
You should
like,
see me in
where
Iran.
Where are you from? Yeah. It's like, they're mean about it, dude. Yeah. Like, if they're like, you're Persian, you don't look Persian. Like, you look different. And also, like, why don't you speak Farsi? You don't read. Like, where are you from?
Rude.
They're fucking rude about it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I feel bad for disappointing people, mostly my family, by not being able to speak Farsi that well. So I'm trying. But then when somebody tries to speak to you in Spanish and you're like, hablo un poco, they're like...
Their face just falls.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, come on. Like, I'm not even Latina. Don't put this on me.
Yeah. I feel that. It is disappointing. And your Race in America episode was about that too.
Yeah, yeah.
By disappointing someone for not being what they thought you were.
Yes. Yeah. It's like there's when you're origin ambiguous, people want you to be something or they expect you to be something. And inevitably, you disappoint them a lot. And that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, when you're white, no one's ever like, oh, I thought you were not white. You know, everyone fucking knows you're white.
Yeah. I mentioned, so she was on a Snarled episode called Race in America, where this woman thought she was Jewish, and she ended up disappointing, or she thought she was going to disappoint this woman. And my sister, who looks more Caucasian than I do, she
your
gets
sister
mistaken for Jewish
is
all the time.
A white woman.
Like, this guy in college called her Anne Frank. White people are dumb.
There are other Jews, dude.
Yeah.
Also, like, why pick the one with the most tragic history?
Yeah. And the one that's dead. Like, there's
like
no
she's
way.
She's dead.
Yeah, like, she's not.
Like, she, like, dead.
She died. It was tragic. But, so, it's
that's
interesting.
That's a creepy nickname.
I know. It's interesting.
It
wasn't
not
a nickname. You just thought she was Anne Frank. White people are dumb, dude.
I cannot stress that enough.
Okay.
I know this is like,
it's
almost like pointless to try and talk anything about politics anymore because everything sucks, but,
yeah, we should still talk about it.
We're going to fight ISIS.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We're going to Mosul.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know. IDK. I don't
know.
Feel
like
anytime
we go, oh God, David, oof.
Yeah.
Oof. You know why?
It's an awful
because
deplorable
they,
thing.
They, what is it called? They have free fire zones, which is a thing that Obama and previous administrations said was not chill. Basically, a free fire zone is like, you can like, the U.S. forces can just like bomb potential enemies and stuff, but like, it doesn't matter if there's like civilian casualties and all that, and it just destroys everything. Basically, it's like what's going on in Syria. It's like, now is okay thing to do. According to Trump, which is terrible because Obama and like Bush administrations were like, no,
yeah,
that's a
even
lot
the Bush
of lives.
Administration, even the Bush administration, which we all hated, and now he has
sweet angel
book.
George W. Bush.
He's become this sweet
old
little man
racist
with,
grandpa
with a painting book now. Even he, this war criminal, was against what's happening now in Iraq.
He was just like, well, we've got the civilian zones, and then we've got the active war zones, and let's just have the war. In the war zones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
now
the
that's
free fire
not,
zones are very like, no, everything's, everyone lives in an active war zone all the time.
It's
enjoy
awful.
Your life. Also, you're not allowed into our country.
Yeah, and the civilians that have survived, they're being ordered to stay in their homes.
Wow.
So it's like, oh, you can't leave. And also, if you do die, it was an order because we would be
able to
stay
here. I don't
know.
Basically, this whole concept that they're doing is just going to create more Muslim radicals, which is what we don't want. And they're all going to move towards ISIS because ISIS loves to pick those babies up. Like, oh, you sad. Come join us.
Yep.
And then they're like, hey, Iran, quit helping those Jews out, which makes no sense because it's like, who cares?
Get mad at Iran for something. Don't make it be for helping Jews one time.
They're like, what? We just don't say anything to them, so we're the problem? Mm-hmm. So
but
we don't kick them out of our country?
When you think about it, it's actually really...
And Iran hates Israel, so it's why are you so upset? They hate Israel just because they let people live peacefully in their own country?
Yeah.
God forbid.
They still hate Israel a lot.
They fucking hate Israel.
Yeah. But it's a little devastating because they radicalize these really desperate young people. It's like ISIS purposely seeks out people that have nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
And they radicalize
them.
Those
are the best fighters.
Yeah, and it's sad because those people aren't necessarily evil people, but they have literally nothing left to live for because their family's dead or they're displaced and
there's
have nothing
left. There's no infrastructure, there's no economy.
And, here comes this organization, this mass of people that's like, we'll be your brothers, basically.
We'll be your brothers. We recognize that you have value. We see your skill set and we want to help you learn.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, of course that's attractive to somebody.
Of course. And you have to understand that desperation leads you to the most unquestionable things. Like, you would never... I'm positive that most of the people that are in ISIS, that weren't in ISIS, like, a year ago, didn't think that would ever happen. Like, you don't...
Yeah.
You don't wake up being like, I'm going to be an extremist today and bomb something. It's like, no, you're driven to that based on extreme, desperate circumstances. Yeah. And
having nothing else in your life to pull you away from it.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, anyone can become an extremist without anything holding them back.
No,
like,
family.
Yeah. Job, like,
for example, like, if you're
no boyfriend.
if you're,
Anna, do you have a boyfriend?
No, I don't have a boyfriend, but someone in like a year, if I'm an ISIS, my bad.
Yeah, so anyone that's listening, we need Anna to date, or else she will join ISIS.
Anna doesn't date,
date me, or I'll join ISIS.
No, I would never.
That's my Tinder bio.
That's so great.
Please. Anna's perfect, and I love Anna.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am single.
I am single, and I live here in Los Angeles.
It's really funny, like, when white people learn that I'm Syrian, the first question, like, not every time, but it'll be like, what do you think of ISIS? She's like, what do you think I think of ISIS?
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect? Like, I have a tattoo on my arm. It's in Arabic.
It says ISIS. So people are like,
no,
what's
literally,
up?
Literally, so this one time, I was just so over it. And this white guy was like, oh, what does your tattoo say? And I was like, join ISIS. And he looked at me with this fear in his eyes that I've never seen a white person look at me with. And it was, I felt strong.
Yeah.
I felt strong. And I was
like, that is not the message you want to put across right now.
Fear in
him. You know what I mean? But like,
wanting to feel powerful than joining ISIS.
No, I mean, like,
do you have that coworker that's just making you feel like shit? Let him know that you're an ISIS. Quick. Then you'll feel on top of that situation real quick.
It's really annoying to be constantly put into a box and then have to take yourself out of it. And sometimes it's nice to be like, hey, fuck you. Maybe I'm in ISIS. Like, what do you think now? You know what I mean? Because they want you to say, I'm American. And then they can be like, oh, that's cool. But like, what if you were like, join ISIS? Then they would have to come up with a response to that.
Yeah.
And like, they're putting you in a position where you have to, like, for somebody to say to you, what do you think of ISIS? It's putting you in the shittiest position of having to say, actually, I think.
Though I'm Syrian, and even though I was my family's Muslim, I still don't like ISIS. Like, as if those two things make me more likely to sympathize with them. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, it feels good to put somebody else in a shitty position of having to respond to a crazy statement.
Exactly.
What if my arm says join ISIS? What then, bitch?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just the most ludicrous thing.
You come at me with an aggressive question, I might be fucking aggressive back.
No, because, like, you'll have people ask you, like, oh, what are you? And you'll be like, I'm Californian. Like, oh, no, what are you? It's like, okay, it's like, bitch, like, do
game
you want?
On. Yes,
like,
you wanted to have this conversation, now we're fucking having it.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm
American. I can't just bring it up and then
end
it.
Again, the main theme of this little segment is, white people.
Yeah, just main lesson to take away, don't ask about someone's race unless you are prepared to have an actual conversation about it.
Yeah. But for the record, my tattoo says freedom.
Join ISIS. Yeah. Or actually, what it really says is take the chance of freedom to join ISIS.
Yeah, exactly.
There says freedom, and then in really small print underneath says to join ISIS.
Read the fine print. Yeah.
It's like a little asterisk. It's like freedom to join ISIS.
No, because I got it mostly because when the revolution in Syria started, the flag had the same text on it, the same font and everything. It said the word freedom on it. And now...
Oof, too soon.
I know, right? It's just like, where was I?
like, freedom to destroy this country.
Now I'm just like so sad. But all the time. But what else can we talk about? I'm getting in a black hole of depression.
I'm worried that the same thing is going to happen in Iran over the next 2 years that has happened in Syria over the past 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Because that's very likely, and the Trump administration wants it.
Something that's different that I'm hopeful about is that when the Syrian, when the killing started in Syria, no one really knew about it. It wasn't until the fourth or fifth year that people in America even heard about it.
Totally.
And that infuriated me. And like, obviously, like I knew about it because I have family there.
Mm-hmm.
But at least there's more attention to that part of the world now. Like,
yeah.
At the very least, at least people that weren't paying attention before are paying attention now.
Yeah.
So
I do think that Iran has a little bit more, like, dictatorship stability than Syria had,
yeah,
because Assad is just, like,
it.
A psycho.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, like, at least they have, like, a democracy where there are going to be, like, there's an election coming up. Rouhani may or may not win. Hopefully another more conservative person doesn't come through, even though they're kind of pushing that right now because of the current, like, U.S. relations. But I don't know. Like, currently Iran is, like, one of the safest places. It is still a regime.
Yeah.
In the Middle East. But
it's not an active war zone.
Yeah, it's not an active war zone at all.
You have to understand, like, people don't realize that, like, I used to visit Syria every year, like, before all this happened. Like, it was safe. I used to walk around. We didn't cover our hair. Like, it wasn't like it's not even a Muslim country. The people, the president isn't Muslim.
That's a
I
really
think
important thing
for
people to know, I think.
The next place that might happen to is Turkey, because Turkey is so unstable with that prime minister being too religious, and they're, like, losing their goddamn shit over it.
No, but it's interesting, because even,
and
I remember,
there's so many fucking Turks leaving, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I went to Vienna last week, because that's where a lot of my family lives.
Wait, hold on. You were in Vienna last week?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was cool. It was great. I mean, I went to go see my family that lives there.
I've always wanted to go to Vienna. It's a really beautiful.
It was really beautiful. The last time I went, I was like a little kid. Vienna.
It was. Is that what you say it in Persian?
Vienna. Yeah, it was really.
Vienna.
It was really good. Like, well, in German, they don't say Vienna. They say
Vienna.
Vienna. It's with a W I E N.
Yeah, but you say it in Vienna.
Yeah.
And then you're a Wiener. That was
Wiener
funny.
Jokes.
No one else did.
5 years of German in college, I've got nothing.
5 years of German?
Yeah, nothing.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wait,
nothing.
Really?
Well, I mean, I could be
my
like,
favorite
no.
Word, my favorite word ever is the word five in German, and it's fünf.
Fünf is good.
It's the cutest word.
Be like,
oh, man. I'm
going to
show you a picture. I know this probably won't go on the podcast, but I'll show you a picture of
it. Oh, like your phone case.
Thank you.
You and
I. I am extremely against the evil eye.
Yeah.
Can you tell? Here is a picture of some ice cream in Vienna, and I want you to read the names of the flavors. I took a picture of it, like an ice cream store where they had the flavors listed.
Oh my god. Floco, Schlumpf.
Wow.
Erdbeer. And
Stracciatella.
I could never say that one.
That's Stracciatella,
yeah.
But
Schlumpf. Schlumpf.
And it's blue.
Schlumpf. What, do you know what that means at all?
No.
Oh my god, schlumpf is my favorite word.
I didn't get it. I mean,
these
I think
are not
they're close.
Flavors.
I know.
Floco.
Floco is maybe a Four Loko flavor gelato.
No, like, your favorite scoop of Floco.
It's when a cat, like, walks on your keyboard. That's
a
schlumpf.
Yeah.
I know we want things to be okay in the Middle East, but, like, realistically, like, hell in the Middle East will never end, because everything is basically based off arms sales. So, like, we spend, like, we make, like, $20 billion off arms sales in the Middle East. So, like the Middle
we're
East...
We're not going to stop selling them arms.
No, like, Middle East will always be a terror zone. Like, literally, for the rest of our beings. It's honestly, the Middle East only, at this point, like, war in the Middle East exists because we want to make money off weapons.
Yeah, because we want to make money off weapons, and also we want that oil.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's all money. They hate Israel, and, like, America gives so much, like, help to Israel that, like, the terrorism against the Palestinians that Israel commits often for those Jewish settlements.
One
is
might
gonna
even
be
say
a-
daily.
Yeah. It's such fucking, we're a fucked up world. But, and everyone's like, Iran, fuck Iran. It's like, no, fuck everybody.
Yeah, fuck everybody over
everybody.
There.
Shady as fuck. U.S. isn't doing shit either. We're all just in there like, yeah, totally. You can do whatever you want.
Hey, can you stop fighting, but also buy guns from us?
Yeah. And they're like, what's the
just
big
buy the
deal?
Guns and then don't use them.
Israel doesn't have to give that land back, but maybe they should, but maybe they shouldn't. Like, there is, like, no stability anywhere. And I'm really glad that that Jared Kush fuck dude, the one that's, like, married to Ivanka, is getting, like, questioned for, like, talking to Russia so much. It's like, who? Why is Russia talking to everyone? Like, I don't get it.
Russia's
like,
a slut, dude.
Who? Why, how does Russia have all these phone numbers?
Yeah.
I really hate how much certain members of the American media are trying to make Ivanka and Jared Kushner like the new American royal couple.
Yeah,
it's not. Trump, stop trying to make fucking Kushner happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
and they're disgusting and nobody likes them. And it's like, oh, she's pregnant now. And it's like, who gives a fuck?
She's
dude?
Pregnant?
She's pregnant.
Well, she shouldn't be in an office anywhere near the White House.
Yeah.
But it is kind of cool that we are ban list people. So, like,
it's kind of cool.
There's some edge to it.
Yeah.
Like, I now kind of walk around a little bit of like a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I can't get into this club. I can't get into this fucking club.
Yeah.
Let me in.
Yeah.
Let's see my passport.
So, is there anything else you would like to talk about this current political climate?
Just that when the travel ban happened, I asked my dad, like, hey, are we dual citizens? Because I was like, not sure. I was like, I know I have an Iranian passport, but yeah. I don't really know what that means. So I was like, are we dual citizens? He was like, yeah, we're all dual citizens. Like, we kept citizenship over there, you know, just in case things got bad over here. And I was like, good plan.
Yeah.
Good plan, Dad. It turns out, actually, that when things get bad here, they get even worse over there.
Yeah.
So maybe we should have gotten somewhere else.
Maybe we should go to space.
Maybe we should. Yeah.
Sign
it's like
me up.
Canada is like the Earth version of space.
Yeah.
So everyone wants to go to Canada because it's like being in space.
Yeah. And like the ruler is like this like sexy man. Space man. Yeah.
But then you have to be part of the British Empire.
Yeah.
Ugh, kill me.
I know.
So one last segment where we shout out some good shit.
Yeah, on a good note, we want to leave this episode on a good note.
Princess Haya of Jordan is dope. She's trying to, like, do really good stuff to solve the Middle Eastern political crisis, which, I mean, good luck, because like I said, I'm arms dealers.
Yeah, but it's good, it's a step in
the
right direction.
She's trying, yeah. She's talking about all the, like, migrants coming out of Syria, and they need to have places to go, and she's talking about how, like, the Middle East used to be a great place. I mean, she is technically the second wife of someone.
She's the second wife of the ruler of Dubai.
Yeah, which is a scene. It's a scene.
Yeah.
But
it's
regardless,
credit. It's her credit. It's her top
she doesn't
credit.
Like sit and it's her top credit.
Her IMDb. When I bring her on stage, I'm always like, and she's the second wife of the ruler of Dubai.
Don't let that make you think any differently of her, though.
Princess Haya, give it up.
No, but she's actually doing some really good shit, and she's trying, and she's posting on Instagram, which is, you know, always the first step to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but she also established her own foundation to deliver food aid to the Arab world, especially now with all the displaced citizens and everything from Syria. So I think it's like
cool
that someone with power is able to use it for good reasons.
Right. Like, I wish the whole system would change so that these famines and wars are not happening and don't have to be taken care of, but if they're happening and have to be taken care of, at least there's somebody who's going to set up a nonprofit.
Dude, listen to this. She's the most amazing person. She's Oxford educated, and she represented Jordan in show jumping at the Sydney Olympics.
Okay, fuck her.
And she is famously the first Jordanian woman to hold a license to drive heavy trucks and an accreditation necessary to transport her horses. But this is the stupidest part. She does not identify as a feminist, but believes in gender balance and the empowerment of women, which, you know, like, just, like, look up the definition of feminist, because that's exactly what it is.
Go brush your horses, dude. I'm done. I'm done with this fucking princess bullshit.
She's a princess, but she's trying, and that's what matters, and she's a woman, and she's really beautiful.
That helps.
She can give Angelina Jojo a run for her money.
Don't say that.
I would be
Angie's
fine.
Angie's queen.
I would be fine if she just gave all her money away.
Honestly, like, I'm just dying for the day that I'm a second wife to some Middle Eastern leader.
Dude, every monarchy can suck my fucking dick.
And on
thank
that note,
you.
Thank you to Sarah June.
Check my website, heysarahjune.com, and maybe you can see me do stand up and throw things at me.
Yeah, please check her out. She's an amazing comic and now a best friend. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I love myself.
Whoa.
Wow, I'm so glad you took the time to listen to that entire episode.
Because you definitely did.
Yeah, you listened to it, right?
Yeah.
Listened to it, right? You can just skip ahead, right?
You wouldn't do that to us.
What? That would be weird, right?
That would be really rude and mean. And
so, yeah, we hope you enjoyed that. Please rate, review, subscribe to us on Feral Audio and on iTunes. Help us out a little.
Help us out. It means a lot to us. And thanks for listening. Yes. And tune in next week.
And check out Sarah June on Twitter and Facebook and the internet. Instagram?
The interwebs.
The interwebs.
She's on it.
She's everywhere. Go to her website. Find out where she's touring or she's going to be performing. And go watch her. Her stand-up is hilarious.
Yeah. Support us, girls. Let's go.
Yeah. So, you going to bite that ass?
I'd bite that ass.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.